Today's episode of RTFM is brought to you by Cloud Empress, The Lands of Life and Death by Watt. It's two 60-page hardcover expansions to Cloud Empress, a bio-eco weird fantasy setting. One of the books focuses on survival interaction and society, not survival. Oh my god, redo. One focuses on social interaction and society, the other on hardcore survival. Go to cloudempress.com to go to the Kickstarter and back it. I actually read the first Cloud Empress. I really like it, and I love the idea of like these hyper-focused little twists for expansions. So again, check out cloudempress.com. We're back from hiatus. Can you tell? I've messed up everything. It's RTFM.
It's been so long. It's been like 2 weeks.
This, you're listening to the world's only sex podcast, and we happen to discuss RPGs as well.
That's our new shtick. I love it. I'm here for new us. This is 2024 all sex games. That's not going to happen. But
it might.
We're going to try.
We're talking about Anal Wizards, all one word today.
Yeah.
It's a comic book RPG by David Genchi, I think that's how you say it, with help from William Genchi, his brother. It was originally published in the Italian, I think, in 2022, translated and released by Hollow Press in English in 2023. You can get it from Silver Sprocket. They're not sponsoring us, but store.silversprocket.net. I love most of the stuff they distribute, and you'll probably find something good there.
Yeah, Silver Sprocket, good people. We're like totally off our game, and then this is just the most, probably the weirdest one we've read ever on this podcast.
Yeah, so it's a 96-page comic book. It's in like the European album size, bigger than a traditional American comic book, paperback. It is choose your own adventure. You read through the panels and follow some arrows. There's a coin flip resolution. So sometimes you'll reach a thing and it'll ask you to flip a coin. Heads follow this path, tails follow the other. There's some tracking of resources like health and coins. So it's closer to like the advanced fighting fantasy books than the typical American choose your own adventure book. It is horrific and funny.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the plot?
Is there a plot?
There's a plot.
I know.
Play a young wizard who gets an ancient power put in their butt, and you are on a quest to figure out what's going on.
I love this plot summary. Thank you. Thank you for blessing me with it. It's so wild. I don't even know that, like, the plot matters. The plot matter? I mean, I guess it matters that you have, some kind of ancient artifact up your butt. Because a lot of people are very concerned with what's up your butt.
I know we talked about during Vermis how I was like, this is sort of like Dark Souls, but misses out on a lot of Dark Souls stuff. Anal Wizards to me feels closer to Dark Souls in that there's like a vague opening, almost cinematic. You go through, you know, a linear path. You aren't making choices at the start. And then it is like, does the plot matter? I don't know. I'm going to see some wild stuff and do some dodge rolling.
Also, exclusively weird little guys. Like, there is not a guy in here that is not a strange little fuck.
You begin, your sort of player character is basically normal at the start. That might change throughout, but everything else is mutated, often naked or close to naked.
Maybe important is also like content warning on this episode.
Oh yes, thank you. I forgot.
We're gonna swear. We're gonna talk about a lot of body parts. We're gonna talk about some sexy things. The game itself has like a series of content warnings on the cover, which I like, little icons.
Yeah,
that include bad language, drugs, fear, gambling, sex, and violence. We will be talking about all of those things as well. There's also some language in this book that is not great that I probably won't repeat, but
yes,
it does exist. And some of that might be translation, which is always a thing, an important lens.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. So just if those things do not appeal to you, and also the places where all those things meet do not appeal to you, because sometimes I feel like that's where the
right, exactly,
where the actual difficulty comes in. This might not be the episode for you, and we will be back in 2 weeks with another different sexy thing that will have a different set of content warnings.
Right.
Maybe the exact same set of, we don't know. I'm ready yet. But yes, that feels like it's important to get out of the way right up front before we start talking about all of the creatures that want up your butt. I am with you on the Dark Souls. This does, I realize that like color wise, it's very vibrant. It's very colorful. And that might make some people be like, no, Vermis is the Dark Souls thing. Not that there can only be one and it has to be one of these two products from the same press. That's not, none of this is true, but I do feel like it's more Dark Souls than Vermis.
Yeah, I feel like it has tapped into the rhythm mm-hmm. of Dark Souls as far as like introducing bosses and introducing new locations. And
also just like turning a corner and being like, what the fuck?
Yes, what I was just going to say, introducing strange NPCs in surprising ways. There is some looping, the way that so many FromSoft games do, where you can approach, you can arrive at the same point by different paths.
There's checkpoints, which means you also can like learn part of the game and choose a different path or go at it differently the next time, which is an interesting thing that is frequently missing when games try. And this game is not trying to be Dark Souls. We are just on our bullshit today. But a lot of RPGs have tried to be Dark Souls. And one of the things that I think this actually like, I hadn't even thought about this until you brought it up, but the idea that you actually learn the book and then go back sometimes like 6 or 7 pages.
Right.
And can take a different path or can take that path in a more advantageous or intentional way.
They must know Dark Souls because there are moments of like, oh, there's this creepy fucking chest. Are you going to open it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying
that. And then it's fine. And then there are other moments where it's like, oh, there's this creepy thing. Are you going to open it? And then it's a coin flip of does it attack you? Like the vibes, the page flips, they handle. We'll get into this more later, maybe. But the formal use of the comic book form, they do a lot to recreate the tension in interacting with a new thing in Dark Souls. It's good. I do want to, like, before we go further on like the formal or game mechanics of it, like I just want to try to dial in on the vibes a bit more. You mentioned the creatures.
I don't know how you describe these vibes succinctly. Not that we have to be succinct. We have all the time in the world here.
I mean, there's Cronenbergian stuff. Like if you've seen The Thing and when the dog bursts into a monster, it's that kind of monster, right? Like body parts where they should not be, heavy use of sexual organs and teeth, the symptoms of disease or unhealth. There's tons of dicks in the book. Tons
there's
of
very little sex though.
That's exactly what I was leading up to. My one note is there are no pleasant sex acts here. The body is a site of horror and comedy, not restfulness or relief.
True to life. and JK, so, you know, my body's fine. I don't think of it as a horror.
But when people do certain explorations of sex, a lot of times it's like, oh, here's the gross parts. Here's the horrific parts. Here's the funny parts. Here's the pleasant parts. This is not pleasant.
There's one. I only found one. And it wasn't in my playthroughs. I didn't get there, but I went looking back to see like, oh, is there like, where's all the sex, you know? And there's one like party scene that looks like it could have been fun.
But it's fun in like a bacchanalian way, not in like a, I've made a
way is there,
deep. No. Right, exactly. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bunch of drugs. Everybody's like going wild. It's the whole thing. And
no restfulness or relief.
It also leads directly into something that's so gross. It's a little bit, I feel like this is a little bit like if Dark Souls was written by Desaad and then read through an acid trip.
Maybe with like a 14-year-old not in a sexual way, but just like the mindset of 14-year-old humor of like, what if we put a dick on this thing?
But that's Desaad. Like yeah, that's that, fair. Like Desaad is definitely like, ha ha ha, butts. Like it's, but also like, what happens with butts? Poop. We're going to talk a lot about like we're going to include all that gross things. Like we're going to both include things that often you associate with sex, but also the realities that bodies, the stuff we use for sex is also can be the stuff we have the gross experiences with. And that like overlap.
Yeah.
Is, yeah, I don't know. It's the vibes are weird. Very colorful. The art I'm like in love with.
Yeah, there are some, I guess what you would call anime influences in some of the facial expressions. But then also I feel like lots of video game influences. Yeah, I just, you know, I opened it to try to, it reminds me of lots of like Franco-Belgian like cartooning, like Louis Trondheim dungeon stuff as well. But then I open it to try to be like, what can I look at to try to figure out the influences? And there's just like giant ball sacks everywhere.
Yes. Yes. One character has huge balls and belts them up above his waist so they look like tits. And I am so here for it. Yeah, it's so funny. I actually didn't even get that. I just like saw a picture of that character, so. Apology, I have no idea what the gender of said character is, that was not in my playthrough as well.
I played it
proper, and then I went back and tried to like see what I missed because it's like it you can't really read it front to back without playing it because it is not. It is a game. The act of reading it is the game. And so like it's not like there's instructions or whatever. It's just this is like the linearness of it can only be found. The pathway through can only be found by following it. It would be complete nonsense to just like try and read it page by page.
I am here to say I read it page by page.
That is wild. That is wild. I don't know. My brain could barely comprehend the path through it that was guided. So one of the things about it is all of the cells are color-coded, and so you follow like a color-coded path from page to page. And they like weave around, and you'll like jump streams at different points depending on what choices you make. But it's very not top to bottom, left to right.
Yeah, there are arrows. It will. They oftentimes lean into the natural Western reading order of left, right, top to bottom at the start. Mm-hmm. But then by the time you reach the middle and the end, you are like going across and then back and then up and then splitting. And
it's such a feat of design to me. Maybe it like is not. Maybe this is just one of those I've literally never tried to do this, but. And so maybe it just kind of, you know, it's like, oh, well, I have four cells left over after drawing this, so I'm going to make this section four cells. Like, I don't know what that back and forth is of whether or not all of the paths were planned or if it was planned. Like, this is a game that in my mind you have to write into your layout.
Right. I mean, I imagine they did some thumbnailing and they kind of planned out each path. And then there probably were times where they're like, well, we have room for another. I mean, we have 8 inches here. Do we break it into two panels?
Sure we do.
Do we try to show it in one panel? I don't think it was easy. I imagine there was a lot of sketchbooking and doing little thumbnails and stuff. But
which I think is why all of the cells are also like squared.
Do people call them cells?
I don't know.
Okay. I've just never heard it before.
Is that not a... I don't comic book...
Yeah.
In my mind, they're cells. What do we call them? What are they supposed to actually be called?
Panels is what I see them called. Mm. But I don't know if that is like, you know, I come from a specific comic reading heritage or whatever.
We can so. Panel. Panels just seem so much bigger to me. But
yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I don't know. I'm into it despite its flaws.
What are the flaws?
I mean, some of the language is pretty, like, there's a couple times where they use a word here or there that's pretty offensive.
Yeah.
I found one. I haven't read all of them.
Right. I read most of it. I think I only saw the one. I assume we're talking about the one use of the R slur that I saw.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's, so there's a heads up on that, yeah. Which again is like, I wish that didn't exist, because then I wouldn't have to have, then I could be just like re-release this and take that out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, and a for all we know, thing. They, maybe it's a,
it know. Does not seem like it was, again, as with Vermis, it doesn't seem like it was translated by someone hyper fluent in the English language and the current usage of the English language. I don't think it's a bad translation, but it's a little clunky sometimes. And so for all we know, they used Google Translate and then had someone smooth it out or something.
Yes, it's very, it's not like poetic in any way. It's very, I think these are the words that are literally being used.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between a straight translation versus like a localization or something.
Exactly.
Like it's not. Yeah. And so there is part of me that I want that to be true, but it's also in there and it doesn't really matter. You know, like it's an unpleasant moment. Other than that, I guess. I don't know if this is a conversation we should have. So maybe this is a thing that is going to get edited out, and maybe it's not, because I think it involves like a bunch of nuance, and I don't know if we're there. I think you are there. I don't know if we're there as a podcast. But like, there's some, I feel like this would be so upsetting to so many people. Like I am hesitant to say I'm super into it, because I think it's probably problematic, you know, like I don't in that way that, but I'm also like of a generation and of a type of people who has been engaging in like sex art for a really long time. And sex art is in that way that like art that depicts or engages with sex is often uncomfortable, is often like meant to be uncomfortable, is often confrontational, is often about like boundary pushing, like there's lots of things that become very difficult to disentangle from the current conversation around sex, which, and like difficulty of experience. There's things I'm trying to say, and I don't think I'm articulating them super well, but there is a current push towards like eliminating a lot of sex from any form of media because the ways in which it makes people uncomfortable, and some of the ways in which it makes people uncomfortable are things that we should absolutely be respecting, and some of the ways are not. Like some of that is like a slightly hidden, like not even hidden queer phobia or transphobia, yes, or whatever. And some ways that is about, you know, respecting traumas that people have, and those things are really different. And it is sometimes hard to toe that line. And so there is kind of this conversation about like representational media and, you know, because I come from a background of engaging with kink and SM, both personally, but also in artworks and like publicly, there is a very nuanced conversation that happens in community about like the difference between a thing being real and a thing being depicted. And because this has a lot of things, obviously it's meant to be like way over the top, so it has a lot of things that are like depicted that I don't know. To me, it didn't even read as like that sexual. It's just like there's a bunch of dicks on stuff, but there's not like, right, actually that much sex content. But I could see it being upsetting to a lot of folks.
Right.
It's really like, what I'm, it's the long, if I is were, the short version of what I'm trying to say.
If I had 50 people that were paying me to send them one zine a month, I probably would not choose this one because I don't know who they are. If my mom was coming over, and my mom's pretty cool, but I wouldn't be like, oh, better make sure I have anal wizards on display for my mom to look through when she gets here, you know.
I would frame this and put this on my wall. Screw it's, everybody. But also,
but
like,
if it's framed, it can't be opened, you know?
It's true, but I would just pick my favorite page and frame it open. But I also, like, I have a piece of artwork that I bought from an artist that I love that is a robot eating a bunch of ass, and we just have that right in our living room. So if you're not here for robot eating ass, don't come to our house.
Right. But yeah, I think it is a very huge discussion. As you've mentioned on past episodes, like often anti-sex screeds are anti-queer or anti-trans screeds, but hidden, you know, like no one's anti-sex when a clearly straight cis man kisses a clearly straight cis woman. But then there's a YA book where someone who is vaguely queer or trans does that, and then people are trying to get it pulled from libraries because it's too sexual. I'm doing air quotes.
And there's a
has also leaked into, like, you know, what I see called Puritan discourse of like younger, maybe leftist or radicalized people who, like you said, come from the point of safety. Like, you're forcing me to look at this thing that I don't want to look at. How dare you? There's that new book, newish book. It's not new anymore. Ninth House by Lee Bardugo. And there's some heavy stuff in it, but it's like clearly a horror book. But people are saying, you should have put content warnings on this book. I was just talking to my friend Mason about this, frequent listener. So Mason, I'm using your words here. I'm crediting you. But they were saying,
please don't talk about me on this.
Right. But they were, you know, they just finished this book and they're like, it is really good. It's really heavy. There were some parts that, like, I was surprised by and they hit me and I had to sit with them. And so I understand why people are asking for maybe some content warnings on this book, but like Stephen King has been doing that for decades and no one's ever like, Stephen King, please put content warnings on your book. So again, a lot of that puritanical discussion ends up targeting women or ends up targeting queer people, and no one's saying, hey, old man, why do you have this weird obsession with butt stuff in your novels going back decades? You need to tell people about that.
Yeah, and I like, I mean, and this book does have its content warnings on the front, right? Which is like nice. I mean, they're not like super specific content warnings. They're,
but like, how
general,
again,
topics?
How specific can you be with a content warning before you start?
Also, for something like
actually
this,
actually triggering, like, the you know, the issues.
Yeah, I think, and being like, this book is fucking wild and yes, involves all of these things.
Right,
is like,
that's
if
all
you
I
are
need.
Not on board for it being mega fucking wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels nostalgic to me a little bit, actually. In that it has this kind of like edgy, I don't know, like Crumb era.
I was just gonna say, do you know Ralph Bakshi?
No.
Ralph Bakshi is an animator and animated, I think, did an adaptation of a Crumb thing, but like lots of just kind of horny 70s, 80s stuff. But like so much of that work came with this undertone,
cool,
or often overtone of often anti-black racism, often just clear misogyny. And so this has some of those vibes, but doesn't have the weird, like, it's so horrific that it's not targeting anyone in particular. Also, everyone is so mutated that it's rare that you can be like, this character is a woman and thus this is a misogynist act.
Yes, it is. Gender is somewhat an impossibility. Gender based on like visual demarcators are, I think, that's always difficult, but especially in this context. That's always the wrong choice anyway, but like especially right, in this context. It also, like, there is a set of cops. There's like weird guards that are, there's this one panel that has the weird guards, and one of them
has a swastika
on it, and the other one has a cop hat, and I just can't help but read it as all cops are Nazis. Like, I can't, and maybe that's not the statement that's being made. But
well,
like one, but
yeah,
like maybe it is the statement that's being made, you know,
I
like
think it is. Most of the characters are not judged morally, like as in Dark Souls. If you go through all the paths, you kind of realize that even these people doing horrific things are doing it because they believe in some greater good or something like that. But that panel goes out of the way to be like, these people are clearly shit. The one with the swastika says, like, I don't care. I would sell my mom if I had to, or something. Like, the only clearly evil act is said by these cops. I think it's funny. But
yeah.
Again.
Yeah. And the only visual demarcator is like one of them has a swastika and one of them has a very traditional police cap. And it's like, otherwise they are the same shape. They're also
they're literally brick walls.
They are brick walls. They're also the only thing in the whole book that like doesn't have dicks or tits or whatever. Yeah. So like, I think that's how I read that. Whether or not that is like fully intentional is, you know, a whole other thing. But I did, like, I grew up, I didn't know who Ralph Bakshi was, but I grew up liking Cool World.
Yeah. Which is one of his less more,
might have
explicit
a more
works.
Nuanced I haven't rewatched it in a very long time, and so would probably have a more nuanced read of it, watch of it now. At least I would hope so. But yeah, I think about like Cool World and Crumb in general. Yeah.
Ralph Bakshi did a Fritz the Cat movie. Who is
Fritz the Cat was like a funny joke between like my mother and I when I was a teenager. She was like, oh yeah, you should just get really high and watch Fritz the Cat. So I did that. And it became, Fritz the Cat is one of the, I think, more racist ones.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. There's very... I feel like because we didn't let a lot of people actually engage with media and like representation and sex until very recently in like a bigger way, like it, most of those media properties are bad in a lot of ways. And then they're also the only places where we have like weird explicit sex and fetish shit. And it's this like complicated mess of history. But also like, I don't know, Guido Crapax is in there for me, who is another comic.
I think another Italian cartoonist, right?
Yes, yeah, who did some like adaptations of like the story of O and like some kind of classic fetish lit. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Just create a, create a genre? Yeah, and I like grew up with so much of that. I grew up like reading De Sade, whatever. A lot of things that teenagers probably shouldn't hang out with, I was hanging out with as a teenager. And so this does feel nostalgic to me without, necessarily having all those other really fucked up markers in it, which might be why I'm so like wholeheartedly on board for it. You know, it's like it doesn't have all of the other shit that I'm so used to seeing anytime I actually want there to be like explicit sex and weirdness and weird bodies in stuff.
Right. It seems like truly playful. It does not seem like it's trying to make a point, and it does not seem like it's trying to be edgy to me. Like, it truly seems like these were the toys these boys had, and this is the story they told with it. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like naive in any way. I'm not trying to make it sound like they didn't think about or consider what they were doing. I like it, and I'm kind of a square.
I'm certainly like, I certainly want more of these things to exist. In even just like in form, like they don't even have to be as weird. They could also just, I think the comic book format, like I think there's two things that this is doing, and both of them are really compelling to me. And one of them is making this like really explicit, wild, bananas, like kind of like trippy game content. And the other one is playing with form in a really interesting way. And both of those feel quite unique to this. I'm sure there are other like comic book RPGs. That has to be a thing, right?
Yeah, there's a whole line of them. I meant to look them up. Excuse my typing. Listen to the cat.
She's bananas, right? I got her a new crinkle ball, and she would like the whole world to know about her crinkle ball.
Good. Thank you for vamping, cat. There is a company called Games Unlimited. I think they published this. No, they're just selling this. Never mind. It's not called Games Unlimited. Ignore that. It's called Graphic Novel Adventures. They are mostly made, or they seem to lean toward youth YA kind of stuff. But like, there's one about werewolves. There's one about building your own city. There's a pirate one. There's like a mystery one. They are not, I think for various reasons, one, because they're angled toward kids, they're not as formally confusing. Like, it's mostly, there's three panels on a page and you read the three panels. And then at the bottom it says, if you do this, turn to this page. If you do this, turn to this other page. Like, it's much more like a traditional American choose your own adventure book. They have some cool formal stuff. Like the town one I know has a map that you're filling in as you read, which is kind of cool. So they're out there. I mean, comics are just so hard to make.
Totally.
And so I think before people get into them, there's this, and I don't even mean hard, like I don't think they're harder than other art forms, but they're so time consuming. And every year there's always a discourse about like, who works harder, the comic writer or the comic artist? And I would almost always say the comic artist, because the comic writer, and this is again a traditional American split between writers and artists, often like in Euro comics or other places, someone's doing all the things, but like the writer can just write 1,000 people in an army run down a mountain, and then the artist's like, fuck,
yeah,
okay, here we go. So I think these graphic novel adventure ones are a little less complicated, but still time consuming, because you have to consider the art content. You have to consider the game pass, the narrative pass through it, any rules or anything. So that might be part of why there aren't a whole lot of them, just because it takes a lot to make them.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it would be a boatload of work. But in my mind, it's worth it in this case. I do think that like there is also an app, and the app is garbage.
I didn't look at the app because I hate apps, but
it's garbage. It's a web app. It's made in Unity and it works a lot. It's kind of funny because it's like it's to help you. It gives you a coin to flip. And it, because it is, an actual like physics coin, like a physics simulation coin, it can result in some wonky things in that way that those of us play with Unity know. It's not garbage. It just like doesn't have, like for me, I would prefer a simpler visual app that actually lets me like track, because you can pick up quite a lot of equipment through your playthrough. And there's no, the app is just a coin flipper with your life and coins. And so I just wanted it to be able to do everything that right. I
remember I have the do. Sacred foreskin, please.
Yeah, please let me mark sacred foreskin. Just because I was like, well, if I'm going to use the app, then I don't want to have a piece of paper, but I still need a piece of paper in order to track my inventory. I also did one coin flip that took, I shit you not, 5 minutes to resolve because of this weird physics thing. The coin landed on its side and just like wasn't going to fall over. And I was like, what do I do in this?
That's pretty cool.
Which of course would like never happen IRL, and it's because of the like semi-floaty.
I think it happened in an episode of Batman the Animated Series once, which is not IRL. That's actually a cartoon. But
it was very funny. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I also have the art book that
forgot to look at it. I have it too, but I forgot.
Additional art book. That like a thing I have done in the past is cut up art books in order to frame them, because prints of an artwork like don't exist. And I'm so tempted to do that with this, but there are too many good pages that I don't know how I would.
You have to get two copies so that you can.
I do probably need to get another copy of it. They're so good. It's so good. There's like a full, the fucking dragon with the gargantuan dick. There's like a full leisure, like Playboy centerfolds shot of them. Yeah, it's, even if the game didn't exist, I would buy this.
Also, I just wanted to say that this is a full color, 13x9 inch book. Almost 100 pages is $15.
Yeah, it's €10 or whatever.
A really great price. Not that price should always enter into it, but as someone who is always short on money, and I think our Patreon ended up paying for this. Thank you, Patreon, for all these horny pictures. But it's a great price.
Yeah, it's also like if it was made in North America, people would be charging like $80 for it or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, there's this spread with the giant ball sack that has moral principles that I just am in love with. You know, the flying beholder ball sack?
Yeah.
I love
kindest ball sack in the book.
The kindest ball sack. There is one panel where it is, I don't know, fighting against the people it's supposed to be aligned with, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it just screams, I have moral principles. And there's just, it's so good. So good. The market, okay, the market is actually my favorite part. It's so good. There is a section in the middle where you've arrived at the dust market, which is a checkpoint. Checkpointing is good. It's like 6 or 7 pages, and it's all like optional side questing that you can do. Yeah,
there's one road, like a literal road top down that goes down the middle of each of these spreads, and then little places to go off into shops, little people screaming like, come here and help me. There's one that's just like, there's a dumpster here. Do you look in the dumpster?
It's, yeah, it like this. This is like good game stuff in any format. This would be good game stuff in a source book. This would be good game stuff in a video game. Like this is, it's just the way in which it can like loop back in on itself. There's some like really big benefits to like purchasing. Like you get to go shopping a little bit. You get to meet some weird guys. There's a super fucked up train. Yeah. Yeah, the market was the part where I was like, oh no, this is definitely my favorite section of it because of what it is doing with like the form of it. Because there's something about looking at the spread of the page and seeing the road bisect the whole page that makes it feel like you're like...
It's a map.
Going through, it is a map. Yeah, and there's something that like, oh, I don't feel like I'm reading a comic anymore. I feel like I'm navigating a map. And
yeah, for more on the intersection of maps and comics, check out the project I did for 2 years.
Yeah, you
5 years ago or whatever. Don't actually. Anyway. Yeah, it's good.
The guy whose dick gets really long and becomes a lasso.
My beautiful dick, or whatever he says.
When he gets hit really hard by his little Dom friend. Yeah. It's just good. Sometimes you read a thing and you're like, oh, potentially this is somebody like me in a different life made this thing. If I could draw, this might be what
right drawing what happened. Is so hard.
I can't draw, but I feel like if I could draw, like there would have been a divergent path in my teenage years when I was ingesting all of that like filth that would have impacted me, I think, forever. I would have been like, oh, I'm now going to start drawing weird filth. Everything that I draw is going to have 47 tits or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I was limited to the art of photography. It became very limited to what's real in the world, unfortunately. Yeah,
get good, people. Get more tits out there.
Yeah. Those of you who draw, have you considered more tits?
Oh, I meant our human bodies so that you can photograph them.
Also true. Yes. Yeah, yeah. There's a scroll that you obtain called Arcane Knowledge at one section, and it is the longest bit of writing that it is the only place in the book where there's like a lot of writing. Yeah. And it is so like making fun of every fantasy wizard scroll that's ever been written.
Yes. I assumed it was just like copied from the start of some old book or something.
Yes. Yeah, I assume that as well. Dear reader of manuscripts, it is necessary from the outset to make it clear that the writer did not take part in the events that will be described therein, and yet it was felt necessary to put together what was learned of the judgment of the swine. And it goes on forever and ever and ever. And it's kind of delightful.
I didn't read that. I glazed over it.
I read part of it, but I was like, oh, this is great. This is, it's going on and on. And I love that it's going on and on. But it wasn't in my playthrough, so I just saw it on the page and snuck a glance and then ran away. But there's a lot of the phrase, the wizard pig. You know, I should probably read it in its entirety. I just found it visually compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there is, this is part of the, I want there to be more, like, you're not, this is my barometer for weird, I think. And so when we talk about all of the games that we've read and people are like, oh, look at this weird things. This is full of weird little guys. And it's like, I don't know, just a fantasy goblin or whatever. And maybe like,
it's just a short green man.
Yeah, it's just, I'm like, that's
wouldn't
not
it be weird if men were short and green?
Yeah, I'm no. Like, no, it would be weird if they had 37 tits and also a dick that functioned like a lasso and maybe stored things like other humans up their butts. Like, that would be weird. It's not weird to just have like a little fantasy guy that has been every other kind of little fantasy guy. Yeah. And yeah, so I do feel like this is what I mean when I'm like, I want things to be weirder, because I want to like turn, I want to have that moment in Dark Souls when I'm reading a fantasy game or when I'm reading any kind of game where I turn the page or I turn the corner and I'm like, what the fuck though? What brain produced this thing I'm experiencing, you know? Mm-hmm. Which was every single page of this.
Yeah, it's often multiple times a page.
So many gargantuan ball sacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's some eating of poop.
There is some poop eating. There's some surviving via being encased in poop.
At one point, he poops out a ball of thorns.
Well, yeah, because that's a the giant corrupted one. Artifact.
And then there is a vagina in the ball of thorns that births the main character's doppelganger.
See, that's if it's not weirder than that, don't at me about it.
Yeah, then you have to deal with your doppelganger.
I mean, spoiler, so you know, skip if you don't want this. But one of the endings is that you get spirited away in a dragon butt.
But you are also like part of the dragon.
Yeah,
you are the dragon butt.
You are the dragon, but your head is the butt.
Yeah,
unclear details, not important. I definitely died before making it to the end in my playthrough. So I cheated and read further.
Also at the beginning, they're like, we don't care if you cheat.
I'm only cheating myself because I'm playing a solo game. I do think, yeah, there's many moments where I think the coin flip can easily just function as a, like, make a choice. Like, do you want the good outcome? Do you want the bad? Both of them are hilarious.
Yeah, and there are items that you can get that are like, you, anytime you flip a coin, you just pick heads if you want. Or vice versa, anytime you flip a coin, it's always tails.
I would have survived. Oh, douche. I would have survived. I forgot I had the mirror, which lets you mimic it, any.
Have an item.
Any item.
Yeah.
I might have
you'll
survived.
You'll have to play again.
I cheated myself into losing, apparently. This is why I need the app to have the. I will say the big final baddie, the big final guardian, dragon, whatever, is 100% a Dark Souls boss.
Yeah.
Like, not even a Dark Souls boss with extra tits, because I'm pretty sure there are some Dark Souls boss with tits. Like, that's just Dark Souls.
Yeah. This is Dark Souls.
This is Dark Souls. This is, and if this isn't what you think of when you think of Dark Souls, you need to go back and replay it, because you've missed some crucial parts of Dark Souls. If Dark Souls is if Dark Souls is Vermis for you, you've missed it. This is Dark Souls. I'm joking. I don't fucking give a shit what other people think of Dark Souls.
Speaking of this is Dark Souls.
Oh no.
What's a good piece of media that vibes with this game? Is it Dark Souls?
I guess it's Dark Souls. How many more times do we have to drink every time we say Dark Souls?
Yeah. Is it a Ralph Bakshi film? I couldn't think of anything that quite got there for me.
Yeah, I don't. I can't think of anything that isn't like bad to recommend, you know? Yes, like there's like I can't think of anything that actually like does the thing that this does where I feel pretty confident being like, "Hey, heads up. There's one bad word use and it's got some wild content, but if you're on board for wildness, I generally think it's like an okay thing, you know?" Everything else is like, would you like some racism with your sexy time? Probably not. Like, it's not, as mentioned by all of the different stories of the time. I did have a hard time thinking about anything. There is, like, which is so funny. I'm like, I should be able to think of other media that is, like, sexy media that vibes with this. But it is so bizarre that there is very few things that feel quite this bizarre. Please find us and tell us of things that are like this but are not from the period in history where all of this came from.
Yeah, I mean, next episode we are reading Vice and Violence, which is might be it, probably the closest the comics of that person. I assume there's a bunch of stuff out there being made by people like the person that made Vice and Violence that are extremely horny, extremely strange, and minimally problematic. But finding that in any like published or easily distributed form to tell people like, go check this out, without giving them like a long DeviantArt URL or something.
I will say it's not like, because the hard thing is like, yeah, there's a lot of like filthy stuff in the world. There's a lot of really smart people making filthy stuff in the world. The hard thing to get to is like the really intense fantasy elements, right? Like it being so otherworldly, it being so fantastical, it being so like not real is the thing that I think makes it hard to align anything with it, which I think is like part of the Dark Souls, like part of the video game. Just like, oh, this is super weird. Because I feel like the super weirdness of it is almost more important than like the mature content of it, you know?
Right.
Or at least for me, that's the part that is, I'm also like, you know, immune to like the sex stuff doesn't.
Immune to sex.
I'm immune Max to Lander, sex.
Immune to sex. All damage from sex is reduced to zero.
Yeah. I just don't find it like, it's not like, oh, I'm scandalized. Like, I won't be scandalized by that. So it's like it's wild and weird, but that's not, it's not scandalous. And so the like, I could find other things that are as scandalous, but yeah. Not, I can hear Sean laughing at me as I'm about to say this. Yes, Sean's coming. Sean knows what's coming. The answer is tits. Which I think we've talked about before, Trials and Tainted Space. Have we not talked about this before?
It doesn't sound familiar.
Trials and Tainted Space is an online like text-based role-playing game. It is huge and massive, and it is science fiction, and it is filthy. Filthy. It is the filthiest thing I've ever read in my entire life. It is unlike this. It is full of sex. It is full of sex. It is every content warning that could possibly be applied to a piece of media needs to apply to it. So like, do not go down that path lightly. But it is like, do you want a game where something has four dicks and a detailed description of like ovipositors or whatever? Like that, it's that game. Yeah. But the thing about it is that it is like, it's super filthy. Every text block is filled with more filth than the last. It's also like remarkable in its scope and gameness. Like it is huge. I think at one point they were writing. This was years and years and years ago. I guess it has pictures now. But it was just, for a long time, it was just one guy. And it's like hundreds of thousands of words worth of text.
And not like generative text. Like,
no, like a person. And now it's a bunch of people and they've like, it's become this kind of open thing where they've like added more developers and more writers and whatever. It's also one of those places where like bodies.
One of the things that I like about it is that when you get so into like bizarre, filthy fetish sex stuff,
the whole concept of like bodies being indicative of anything other than like what you want your body to be,
right,
goes right out the window.
Yeah.
And that is the argument for me, for all of this like filthy media that is not necessarily centered in humanness. Is that it's like a lot of wild stuff happens with bodies. It's just like super trans. There's just a lot of transness that's happening in there. But the actual like game scope of it is like extremely remarkable. Just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of words. Now like lots and lots of images and icons. But also like that is the design docs that keep track of where the branching narratives have to go have to be huge. Like, I can't even imagine maintaining this project at all. But it definitely has similar vibes. But where this one is like, oh, it says there was sex and there's not a lot of sex. Tits is all sex. It's not, you will not. There's a fantasy one that's called Corruption of Champions that is like the standard fantasy one, but Trials and Tainted Space is the weird space one. And whoa, boy, is it a thing. I think this is another one. I actually think Trials and Tainted Space might align a little bit better with Vice and Violence, which we're going to read, because I think this is another one where the person who was writing it started a Patreon. And that's how they've funded so much of the like bringing in other people. But the Patreon for Trials and Tainted Space makes $43,000 Canadian a month.
What? I don't even make that much in a year.
Yeah, $43,000 Canadian a month.
Is this when I start writing porno?
I mean, you should have already been writing porno. If you write porn games, here's your thing. I mean, that's going to be the. My understanding is that's also like Vice and Violence is tens of thousands of dollars every month.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting because I think there is a perception that these things aren't commercially viable. And many instances of them are significantly more commercially viable than those games that we're all making that make approximately, you know, $20 a month on itch or whatever.
A game that has netted me negative $100 after paying for art.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did remember something I wanted to recommend, but it's actually maybe impossible to find.
Ooh, it's a quest.
Eleanor Davis is a cartoonist I really like. And back in the heyday of Twitter, she tweeted out a comic called Fuck Wizards, which is, quote, a porno fight comic. And it's about two people who are wizards who are fighting by like growing dicks and vaginas and breasts and all that stuff. It's very short. I think it was eventually printed as Sex Wizards, which is to me a downgrade in title. But it's really short and it's actually like really cute and loving as well. And so I have a print copy. I don't know where to get it or even view it anymore. There's a review of it on a WordPress site, but it only shows, I think, one of the pieces of art. And so I don't, maybe if come to the Discord and I'll pirate you a copy. I'll show you photographs of this weird comic. But if you can find it, get it.
This is going to really exhaust our attempts to read a bunch of weird and sexy games is going to really exhaust our references, I think.
Yeah.
Dealing with the same.
Go out there and have consensual weird sex with someone. That's our recommendation.
Yeah. Also, maybe think about adding some tits to yourself.
There you go. If you have other questions, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/RTFMcast.
Where we do not make $43,000 Canadian.
Yeah, I would love, you know, if you can afford it, food's expensive. I'm losing hours at work. I would love you to go to Patreon. patreon.com/RTFMcast to sign up. We also on a Discord. You can talk to us there for free. You don't have to pay us. There's a link in the show notes for the Discord. What were you going to say?
Should we write a porn game? For the Discord only? Or for the Patreon only?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what we do.
A little porno. Should we write a little porno OSR game? Because I feel like we could do it.
Porosar. Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Maybe we'll do it.
We'll see.
Next time on.
Next time on RTFM, we are talking about Vice and Violence. I think the artist goes by Rapscallion.
Yeah.
Also has published previously under Chimney Speak. I don't remember. But that is free on their Twitter. There's a link to a Google Drive.
So yeah, you could want to read along with us.
Feel free.
Don't open their Twitter if your boss can see over your shoulder, unless your boss is cool.
If you're in the office, don't do this there. I think that's it. I wish I had a cool sign off.
Do you want to read a part of this? Do you want to bring back the quotes? Because, like, you could just pick a page.
All right, random page. This is the most dangerous thing I've ever done.
Yes.
If you have some grapes, you can give them by proceeding to the left. Otherwise, continue to the right. Sorry, man. No grapes, no ride.
Less scandalous than hoped.